1 million species of animals and plants face extinction, possibly within decades, according to a report announced yesterday by the United Nations. The report from more than 450 scientists across the globe finds that humans are largely to blame for the projected loss of biodiversity. The multinational assessment points to a number of human-related activities, things like plastic pollution and deforestation, as a contributing factor to the loss of life on the planet, and this can spell trouble for people and the planet as species go extinct. Stanley Temple is the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation for the University of Wisconsin-Madison and Senior Fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. Stan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you, Rob.
Well, can you talk about how they came up with this report and this number, a seven-digit number of possible species at risk of extinction?
Well, if you've been paying attention, this number really shouldn't come as a surprise. We've been tracking endangered species and the rate at which species have been going extinct for over 50 years now. So it's not that difficult to extrapolate the trends that we've seen over the last half century and project them forward. The other thing that has been done now is that the IUCN, the International Union for the Conservation of Nature, has been steadily doing an assessment of the status of individual species. And they've done quite a few species now. They're up into the tens of thousands of species in the world that they have assessed, and they know what percentages of different taxonomic groups have become endangered. And they know how many total species there are in each of those taxonomic groups. So they're able to project forward and say, if the remaining species that we haven't assessed are endangered at the same rate as the ones we have, that's how they come up with this number of 1 million. But it shouldn't be a surprise. As I said, there have been lots of warnings that this was coming.
We'll spend a lot of time on causes here and possible solutions. But one point this report really highlighted, and they did in their release as well, is this isn't just a story about this being bad for nature and ecosystems. They say there's a human impact, an economic price tag, impact on our way of life. Can you talk about that part of the report?
Well, it's true. I mean, for a long time we've focused on individual endangered species, so, you know, we get excited about pandas and other charismatic species. But we're talking about biodiversity here. We're talking about the very thing that makes planet Earth unique, and that's that there are living things on this planet, and they are the best barometer of the health of the planet. And because we live on that planet, we should pay attention. Those species, the biodiversity of the planet, whether we're talking about genetic diversity or species diversity or ecosystem diversity, provides incredible, almost incalculable benefits to human beings. We think of it now often in terms of ecological services. These are things that nature does for us that, for reasons that are now becoming almost untenable, don't enter into our economic system. We don't account for all of the benefits that we get from biodiversity. It's like it's something that's sort of outside of the human society, and yet we depend on it. And everyone is aware of some of the most obvious, that we depend on pollinators to make our crops produce. We depend on living systems, ecosystems, to purify our water. We depend on coral reefs to provide nurseries for the fisheries of the seas. We depend on nature in so many ways that simply don't enter into our economy, that we've been blithely unaware, really, of how these systems have been deteriorating and how close many of them are to critical tipping points where they might collapse.
Talking to Stanley Temple from the UW-Madison and the Aldo Leopold Foundation, looking at a new report from the United Nations showing a seven-digit number, over a million species around the world at risk of extinction. A lot of human causes behind that. Stan, let's get into those causes now. There are a lot of them listed here. What are some of the key ones, the fundamental ones that you're looking at?
The three big fundamental drivers, of course, all have to do with human activities. And we've known for a long time that the three big ones are the human population density on the planet. There are 7 billion of us on the planet, and as a result, we have a big ecological footprint. Add to that the fact that each of those individuals has a per capita consumption of the Earth's natural resources. And that consumption rate, the affluence, if you will, of the people living on the planet has been steadily increasing. So those people are demanding more and more of the planet. And finally, to get those resources that keep our current lifestyle going, we often use very damaging technologies. Obviously, the big one now is the burning of fossil fuels that provides us with the energy that fuels our society. Incredibly damaging to the environment, as we now know. So those are the three fundamental things. And obviously, that means that you can address the problem in one of three ways. You could address the problem by reducing the number of people on the planet. You could reduce the problem by reducing our affluence, by settling for lifestyles that are not so demanding of resources. And certainly we can turn away from damaging technologies and move toward technologies that satisfy our needs with less impact on the environment.
The report points toward one big manifestation of those causes that you just mentioned being habitat and loss of habitat, either completely or much smaller ranges for plants and animals that might have once been present on a much larger scale. Can you talk about the impact that has?
Well, that is certainly one of the big four consequences of the human footprint on the planet. We are taking up steadily more and more of the planet. Over 75% of the land area has been affected by people. Over a third of the land area has been devoted to agriculture and ranching. And when you look at freshwater systems, they are really strained. Large percentages of all the freshwater sources on the planet are under great, great stress. And those are not only the places that humans rely on for resources, those are the habitats for species. So as the habitat shrinks, the populations shrink, and eventually they get to a critically low size in which we categorize them as being endangered. We now know that many of the world's species are declining. And if we look at the ongoing rate of decline, it's clear that within the next few decades, many of these species are going to cross the threshold to becoming endangered. But that's just one of the problems. Habitat loss is obviously a big one, but there are other consequences of our human footprint. A second big issue has been the problem of overexploitation, that we're simply using the biological resources of the planet in an unsustainable way. The science is there to tell us how to live sustainably within our means and not damage these resources, but we haven't been doing that. So we've overexploited many species to depletion or even extinction. And these were species that were valuable to us. These were natural resources that sustained us, and yet we drove them to extinction. And as if that's not enough, we introduce invasive species. We bring species around the world and put them in places where they never belonged, and they cause havoc for the native biodiversity. And finally, the fourth is things that stress entire ecosystems, like pollution.
And the report points toward those different problems interacting with global warming, climate change. For example, I think one of the authors talked about, okay, if it was just global warming, well, maybe animals, plants could shift their habitat. They could move further north and have a similar environment. But with that habitat decline, the lower range, they don't have a place to move successfully.
Well, that's an increasing problem in some parts of the world where we expect that species under climate change conditions are going to have to move to new places. And although it's not a problem of habitat loss per se, it's often a problem of habitat fragmentation, that the remaining habitat, there may be collectively a large area, but if it's broken up into small pieces, often it's hard for plants and animals to move at the speed that they have to now, given the pace of climate change.
We're talking to Stanley Temple right now, Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation at the UW-Madison and Senior Fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. He's with us to talk about the latest UN report, which says humans have accelerated a mass extinction of species across the planet, over a million species at risk. Not only bad news for the species, for biodiversity, but for us, according to the report. We'll go to your calls now. Gary is with us in Boscobel. Gary, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. I've been on the front line of biological conservation and restoration for nearly 45 years. in the field of prairie and savanna restoration here in Wisconsin and formed an organization back in the 80s called the Prairie Enthusiasts, and we have about 1,500 to 1,700 members in the upper Midwest that are all working on trying to preserve the last bits and pieces of our tall grass prairie. And so we have this biological catastrophe happening right here in Grant County and Dane County and Joe Davies County and in the upper Midwest. And to just tie together the importance of this biological diversity, all of the best farmland in the upper Midwest is growing on extinct tall grass prairies. And to save the bits and pieces of these ecological jewels is crucial because they hold the blueprints in the species that can potentially rebuild these prairie soils in the future. But we're up against a terrible force here that seems to be insurmountable. We have literally very little information on how to manage and preserve these sites, how to protect the insect species there, how to protect the plants from changing seasons so their blooming dates are still in sync with the pollinators that depend on them.
Gary, I'm going to jump in and give Stanley Temple a chance to weigh in on that. Prairies here in Wisconsin, what do you make of what Gary had to say?
Well, prairies here in Wisconsin, of course, are a typical example of what's happened to many ecosystems, that they've not only shrunk in size, but they've become terribly fragmented. The problem is often that some of the most biologically diverse places on the planet, including our tall grass prairies of the Midwest, are the places that people most want to live and make a living, in this case through agriculture. So clearly, there's a couple of solutions that need to take place. First, we need to protect the remnants that are still left. But more than that, since these remnants exist in an agriculturally dominated landscape, we need to find ways to redo our approach to agriculture so that farms and ranches in the U.S. are more accommodating of biodiversity, and rather than being a serious problem, might actually be part of the solution. So dramatic changes in the way agriculture takes place is going to be part of the solution for ecosystems like tall grass prairies that are so valuable for their agricultural production.
Gary, thanks for the call. We'll go now to Connie in Portage. Connie, hi.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I am worried about everything and try to do my best by planting trees and doing as much as we can that way. But how can other people be concerned when our president doesn't believe in global warming?
Well, this is a real issue because all concerned citizens, of course, would like to do things themselves that would contribute to the solution. But that can only take us so far, given the magnitude of the problem that we're facing. Yes, every person on the planet needs to do their share. But more than that, we need the governments of the world, the politicians of the world, the policymakers to get together and put their collective energies into coming up with global solutions, because this is a global problem. And it certainly is alarming that a country like the United States, that has such a strong tradition of leadership in the conservation arena globally, has lagged behind, especially in recent decades. So it's far, far past the time when the problems that we're discussing can be ignored and minimized and not addressed. All the governments of the world need to get on board and do their share. And it can only be done at that high level.
Thanks for that call, Connie. We're talking to Stanley Temple from UW-Madison, looking at a UN report on biodiversity, finding over 1 million species around the planet at risk, mostly because of human activity. Stan, do you worry that people might go right to a point where the problem looks so overwhelming, biodiversity, global warming, all the things we've been talking about, that it's too late, there's skepticism, cynicism, and we just give up?
That is a problem with any of these big problems that humanity faces, including this one. But there certainly has been a groundswell of concern and support for doing the right thing. And I think that is encouraging. But if you are concerned, you need to do the right thing. You need to alter your personal choices, your lifestyle. But more than that, you need to put pressure on policymakers, politicians, to do the right thing collectively for our nation and for the population of the world.
Let's bring on another caller now. Cindy is with us in Appleton. Cindy, hi.
Hello. I'm very concerned about this. And you talked about the prairies a little earlier and how we've lost those. We've also lost way too many wetlands because the wetlands have such a biodiversity that has been created over billions of years and a very sensitive ecosystem. And when you talk, people talk about mitigating and restoring wetlands. I'm sorry, you can't mitigate, you can't restore what the earth has created over billions and billions of years, and we need to start saving our wetlands.
Cindy, thanks for the call. I've talked to one of your UW colleagues, I can't remember her name, Stan, who says a mitigated wetland or a new wetland does not equal a wetland that was already there and removed.
No, that's almost always the case with any attempt to recreate something that has been lost. And wetlands, of course, are extraordinarily important ecosystems. We often think of them as having hugely disproportionate ecosystem services in proportion to their area. So even though wetlands don't cover a large portion of the planet, they do a tremendous amount of service that benefits humanity. We obviously are experiencing floods at the very moment in the Midwest, and certainly the wetlands of the Midwest at one time help prevent those types of floods. Wetlands filter water, and we know that water pollution, freshwater pollution with chemical runoff from agricultural land, with siltation from runoff from agricultural land, from all the things that go into the waterways from our urban and suburban areas. Freshwater systems are in crisis, and wetlands are an important component of how those freshwater ecosystems work.
Thanks for that call, Cindy. In our last couple of minutes, Stan, can you talk about the solutions that the report offers that you think are the key starting points?
Well, addressing the immediate threats to biodiversity obviously should be a priority, and they to some extent are. So we have been very aggressively protecting some of the most sensitive natural areas in the world. So about 15% of the planet is already under some type of protection. Unfortunately, most of those places are deserts and mountains and the Arctic. They're not places that are rich in biodiversity. So we need to expand the protection of areas that are biodiverse. Invasive species should just simply not be a problem. We do obviously a great deal of due diligence keeping people out of our country. We need to keep species out of our countries as well. The other problem, overexploitation, is one that we should just get over this. We've long ago learned that we need to exploit resources sustainably, and there simply is no excuse today for overfishing, for example, and driving marine resources to depletion. And finally, the technologies that basically sustain our modern lifestyle need to shift. We need to move away from some of these technologies that are so damaging, like a carbon-based energy source for driving our society.
Do you see the political will there to do all those things?
Well, one can't be optimistic. And I've always said that as a conservationist, I'm hopeful. A hopeful person knows the odds are stacked and they're against them, but they're going to do their best anyway. An optimistic person knows the odds are in their favor, so they can kind of glide. But you can't be optimistic. We have to be hopeful, which means we're bucking the odds, but we have to do our best. And we know the way forward. It's no mystery what we need to do. The problem is basically having the will to get on with it and do the right thing for the planet.
Stan, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us again.
You're welcome.
We've been talking to Stanley Temple, the Beers Bascom Professor Emeritus in Conservation at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. He's Senior Fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation. He joined us today to talk about the UN's latest report that paints a bleak, though he says unsurprising, picture of humanity's impact on the planet's biodiversity, a million-plus species at risk of extinction, and what steps could be taken to reverse that potential widespread extinction of the world's species.